are on the screen behind me. Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it.
Thank you, Catherine, and please keep your Bibles open as we work our way through this passage this evening. Let's ask God now to bless our time. Gracious God and most loving Heavenly Father, we come boldly to ask tonight for wisdom. We pray that you would grant it to us as we come before you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 2 is where we find ourselves this evening. And Proverbs 2 is very important for how we look at this book, particularly the first section, because it really sets the agenda for this first section of Proverbs from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 9. And Solomon in this passage is promising a rare gift for us in Proverbs, which requires an uncommon search. And do take note of the word uncommon. Because when we look into the world and we consider learning all the things that we can learn about, it's a good thing. We don't want to be ignorant. It provides us the facts so that we can be knowledgeable about a particular subject. There's many ways in which we can learn. If you can have that first picture, this is what my life, I would love it to look like. Maybe some of you just be lost in a cavern of books that never ends. And they just fly to you and say, read me, right? Learning can and does take place even in our study of God. Some of us have books. They have leather covers and they speak to us. They're called theology books, and they have a very special place in our hearts, right? Theology is the study of God. But if you read most theology books, whether they're systematic or biblical in their approach as they walk through the scriptures, they have this sort of order. Chapter 1, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, the scriptures, God's word revealed to us. Chapter 3, creation, God creates out of nothing. Chapter 4, I think you understand where I'm going, salvation, Jesus saves us from our sin. But it is a rare book indeed that says, chapter 5, how to then be wise. You will not find it, not easily. Many places in this world do promise wisdom, however, but sadly, they fall short. And encyclopedic knowledge does not promise wisdom. We can see through the ages that ancient peoples have developed systems by which they may have wisdom in all the corners of the earth. Wisdom can be gained, some would say, through meditation, through the mystic religions, even of the Far East. A little bit closer to our own history, if we go back to classical times, the Greeks believed that their intellect, their critical thinking skills, think Socrates, Plato, that this was the pathway to wisdom. Some thought herbal medications and remedies in ancient and tribal cultures. We go to the Egyptians and all of their wisdom. It was sought through spiritualism, dream interpretation. But let's think about those things for a moment. All of these ways, these paths, as if we could say, point to the belief that wisdom is common. That wisdom, page picture two, that wisdom is like another shell that can be picked up along the beach. All we have to do is look down and it's there. The problem is that we think that wisdom resides in ourselves. And so we can therefore discipline ourselves, we can help ourselves, we can ask the universe to provide, and it'll be there. Wisdom can be picked up. If we would only stay calm, if we would only change our perspective, if we would only learn from our mistakes, then we would have wisdom. But friends, Proverbs has so much more to say, and it is the source of true wisdom, and it is uncommon, it is rare. It is only captured at its source. Solomon is giving us something rare. True wisdom comes from God himself. And so, with fear, I'm going to announce there are 5 points to this particular sermon. Point one is we're going to talk about treasure hunting throughout the entirety of the sermon. So, in the first place, we're going to talk about provisions for treasure hunting. Finding wisdom is like finding treasure. It is rare, and so we need provisions for the hunt. And that's what Solomon gives us in verses 1 to 4. He says, "Let him teach us to treasure up his words." But whose words are we treasuring? When we consider the words that hold lease in our minds, whose words, what words are we treasuring? What words have pride of place in our minds? What images, what scenes, what's currently playing in there? We are not simple, but we're rather complicated in the way that we think, in the way that we hold information. And so quite often there's lots playing in the background. But I have a probing question. What words, what images, what scenes, what are living rent-free in here? You might not think about it all the time, but maybe we should start. We should begin to quantify and to examine what words we're allowing to live in here. Because what is living in here, rent-free, may I add, is what we're treasuring. Do the words, the scenes, the songs, whatever it might be, do they deserve pride of place in our minds? Because the point is, when God's word has that pride of place in our minds, the scriptures actually promise that work is happening. In Romans chapter 12, God's word is promised to renew this mind of ours. It takes up residence there. It begins to grow and change us. The word is transform us. And God's word gives us wisdom through Christ that we would then be able to know the will of God himself, our Father, which is an application of wisdom in the life. That is a huge promise for what wisdom, taking residence in our minds, renewing it, transforming it, can produce. We don't want to forget that wisdom is a matter of the heart as well as the mind, that we call out for it much as wisdom has been calling to us, as it's shown by Lady Wisdom in chapter 1. And so, have we considered this rare treasure that we hunt for? Have we considered how much we need it in our lives? Jesus actually touches in principle on it, because Jesus loves parables, which provide applicable wisdom to the hearer. He exhibits this in his parable of the lost things. You know, it's not just a sheep that was lost in those parables. It was also a coin. And what was the woman to do? What was the wisdom that Jesus was offering to his hearers? Is that she would sweep every last square centimeter of her home to find that lost coin. And then all can stop. That's what mattered, is that this would be found. And so the encouragement is that we would seek wisdom like treasure, and that everything would be of lesser importance to that quest, to seeking the wisdom of God. Just like the title of the series, Seek It Like Silver, wisdom is that rare treasure that we must find. So that's the provisioning of the hunt. The second section is conditions for treasure hunting. What would be the conditions that we can have when we are hunting for treasure? And that's what's found in verses 5 to 8. What will follow if we seek the wisdom of God above all else, like Jesus describes in searching for this lost coin or this lost sheep? What will happen if we actually lived life like that? Well, what would happen, and what Solomon writes, is that we would gain the fear of the Lord, which is the entrance to the cave of wisdom. Follow the analogy. We're treasure hunting. You go down in mines, you go down in caves to find these rare commodities. And when we seek wisdom, we gain the fear of the Lord, and that's where this begins. That's where it starts. Jesus is the greatest treasure in all the universe. But here is the painful part of this hunt. Jesus is the greatest treasure in all the universe, and he is worth all of the searching, because he's worth more than anything. But do you know what the painful part is? I'm going to show you how dense I am right now. The painful part is Jesus is worth more than anything. That's the painful part of it. It means that he is worth more than me. He's worth more than yourself. And he's worth more than anything that you can grasp for. He's worth more, and therefore anything can be set aside for him. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaks, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And when he finds one priceless pearl out of all the ones on planet Earth, there is one of ultimate value. What does he do? He can't afford it. And so he says, the only way I could have this pearl is if I set aside, if I give away, if I sell everything else. And that's what he does. So he went and sold everything, and he bought it. So here is the amazing part. Wisdom from God is treated as a priceless treasure. And it is a priceless treasure that God gives away to us. Let that sink in for a minute. The wisdom that comes from God, the Lord gives his priceless wisdom away. Because we see it displayed in creation, in how he created and made. We even see God's wisdom in the animals. And you see this in the Psalms, that God is wise. God only wise has created in this such a way. And we see the wisdom comes down to us in the form of a gift. One day there was a guy named Daniel, if you remember this guy, and he was in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar, who has an extraordinary long name that none of us can spell without a lot of help, has a dream. And he asks all the wise men in Babylon, he says, this dream's bothering me. You guys that are on staff, you're getting paid to be here to answer my questions. Get in here now. They come in and he says, I've had this dream. Tell me what it means. Doesn't work out so well. I don't have a clue. Daniel comes in, who has the wisdom from God, and he says, don't look at me, but I'll ask my God. He says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and he raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. This is a wisdom that has come down from God. It's the amazing part that he gives his wisdom to men. And the result of finding wisdom like this is that you know God himself. And you know true success in knowing what is right, and knowing what is good, and knowing what is fair. That's what verses 7 and 8 are talking about. The success is knowing God and knowing actually I have the wisdom that's come from God that shows me these things. It shows me what is actually good. What is good in this life, but also what's good in the next. That is a treasure indeed. But in the third place, we need protections while we're treasure hunting. It's a dangerous business. There will be those that would like to push us off the edge of the cliff before we find the entrance to the cave. There would be those that would like to say, yes, it's just down there, while they go the other way in hopes of finding the treasure before you do. But God offers protection in treasure hunting. The understanding of what is right and good that God gives us what has been called a heart and soul deep understanding of morality. It's not just a surface level list of do's and don'ts, but wisdom sinks down into our hearts and penetrates them there. And wisdom then will bring a protection for us in this life, as the text says. Shows us in verses 9 through verses 11. Through wisdom, we actually gain forethought. We're able to discern not just what's on the surface, but what's at the heart. Because we get a God sized view of this world and what's happening in it, not just what our eyes can see and perceive. Because God is with us. We know that we are His, that we live in His place, and we live under His rules and authority and reign. That settles a lot right there. It doesn't look like my chess game. If any of you were around for the chess tournament for Haddad's birthday, you got to see a little bit of it in action. I tried to hide it from the group. Because my chess game looks like I run in, I charge in, I be brave, and guess what? I'm going to win because I'm going to take you by surprise. No. It's recklessness that I think I can win against my son who's very planned, whose forethought is much greater than mine, and whose strategy will railroad my attempts at bravery and glory every time. But what can I say? I'm a Gryffindor. I'm going for the glory all out, right up front. But that's not going to win us in life. That's not going to gain for us anything. As Christians, we have the wisdom of God in Christ. We don't have to be defined by the scars from our past. If you were to Google, how can I be wise? In the AI search results, one of the top ways that our culture and our times tells us that we can be wise is that we learn from the scars of our past. And we apply those lessons to the future. But this is what the scripture's saying. You can learn from the scars of his past. You can have the wisdom that comes from God without the defeat. Christ in his life can define us and protect us until we're home. Wisdom is a precious commodity, rarer than silver and gold, and its deposit is only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. But in the fourth place, there's going to be massive temptations while you're treasure hunting for this pearl of greatest price, for this treasure that can be ours in Him. Wisdom is able to be our shield and our protector along the way so that we may resist the traps and the wrong paths that lay before us in this life. I'm so sorry, but if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, you're going to get a few names, places, analogies, allegories from it. So if you haven't read it, I encourage you to. But as we take this one path that leads us towards wisdom and we see the temptations on every side, we need to be aware of them. We need to know they're there. And so verses 12 through 19 give us two. Both men and women who lead us astray. We have an example, one of each. I'm going to call the first one Mr. Worldly Wise Man, and I'm going to call the second one the other woman. The other woman. Mr. Worldly Wise Man, he's a sharp dresser. His words are quite convincing. He's got the right persona. He tells us what's going to be good for us. He says he's walked that way before. Trust him. God's not here. All that matters is you get there, and I am your man to do that. That's who the worldly wise man is, and we all know him. He's in our home. He's in our workplace. He's in our community. He could be a good friend. But he prefers darkness, verse 13, at his core. He offers things that are actually... Anybody know any salespeople? I come from a long line of salespeople. I'm so sorry. They offer things that are too good to be true. And that's exactly what worldly wise man does. And he will tempt you to turn away from true wisdom that comes from God every time. And his ways will eventually harm you because it will harm him as well. You will go down with him. You won't be alone in following him. He goes down crooked paths to avoid the straight way, to avoid the path that's in the light. He offers shortcuts in life, but those shortcuts only lead us to a pit in the end. So beware of the worldly wise man when you have Jesus Christ as your captain. The second place is we have the other woman of these two temptations. I'll call her the other woman. She is not Lady Wisdom. She speaks temptingly. Her words are deceptive. One very old German theologian writes that the adulterous woman, as he calls her, is understood to be a figure for any so-called wisdom that draws our minds away from God himself. If you have found a new way to live that seems wise in your own eyes, and it draws you away from God in your thoughts, you are walking the crooked path, the wrong way, hand in hand with the other woman. Solomon says, beware that you do not remove your wedding bands. And he's meaning that quite literally. This is literal adultery as well. Do not remove those wedding bands of yours that were placed in your finger in covenant promise to God, to your spouse, to hold hands with any other woman. Because it may seem like a good idea at the time, and it seems more than temptation and your ability to fight it off can withstand. Too tall of a wall to climb, too much. But when we go that way, there's no way to come back. The other woman, whether it is worldly wisdom or whether it is someone who is more attractive than your God, the end is the end. And so be warned of the other woman in temptation. And lastly, and we're finished, the end of the hunt. What is the end of the hunt then? How can I be encouraged? Because this hunt sounds difficult. This treasure sounds great, but the hunt sounds awful. What is the end of the hunt? Well, in verses 20 through 22, we get a picture of the end of the hunt, and it's meant to bring us through. It's meant to give us the promise of beauty that is given to us in the Lord. The picture is God's covenant faithfulness. He says, you will inherit the land. Solomon is speaking in his own terms. He's saying, God has given you these promises, and he has made them come to pass. As he has brought you up out of Egypt, and he has given you a land of his inheritance. But brothers and sisters, we have been given an inheritance far more than what Solomon could bring to remembrance through the land. We in Christ no longer look for a physical land, but we know that those promises are complete when we arrive in the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews chapter 12. When we live in God's dwelling place where Christ is in the midst of his people, doesn't that sound amazing? That is the hope, is future glory with Christ. And the path of wisdom will take us there because we walk with God. But the heights of that glory only raise the stakes for the hunt for wisdom in this life. Because that's what it's at stake. Eternal bliss and glory in the presence of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we will hear those words, worthy is the Lamb, and we will shout them and sing them. But it raises the stakes for the wisdom of the hunt for wisdom in this life. because staying on the king's way is radically important. And if we want to enjoy the blessings that have been won for us in our Lord Jesus Christ, freely and undeservedly, then we have every incentive to follow the words of the sage here. Listen to Solomon. Hear the wisdom of the Lord and follow Christ in them. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the words that you taught us. We ask that you would give us wisdom as you give it freely and undeservedly. But Father, we know that this wisdom would only be manifest in those who know and trust in Christ. That our hearts have been restored and renewed, and so then our minds by your word. That we would follow you all the days of our lives like sheep following the shepherd who is calling us by name. It's in the Lord Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen.
We're going to come to the Lord's Supper in a moment, but before we do, we're going to sing a hymn in preparation to prepare ourselves when I survey.